This is from Illinois Public Media. This is the 21st show. I'm Brian Mackey, and it is Friday, which means it's time for our reporter roundtable where we talk about news happening across the 21st state. Today, we're going to be talking about the dual twin cities of Bloomington Normal and Champaign-Urbana. We are joined now by Charlie Schlenker, senior reporter at WGLT, Bloomington Normal Public Media. Charlie, welcome back to the 21st show.
Thanks, Brian.
Also, we are joined by Reginald Hardwick, Director of News and Public Affairs at our producing station, Illinois Public Media, also my boss. Reginald, welcome back to the 21st show to you as well.
Hello, Brian.
So, Reginald, I want to begin with you, and on a more somber note, the Champaign-Urbana community is continuing to mourn the loss of a local leader. Tell us about more about him and who he was in life.
We're talking about Will Patterson, or Dr. P, as some people called him. He passed away unexpectedly last week at the age of 58. Will grew up on Urbana's racially segregated North Side. He loved hip-hop music, but he also had a deep love of STEM. And it started as a child with federally funded programs like from the National Science Foundation and the U of I that he attended as a child after school. But those programs were cut in the 80s, and he really got disillusioned, and he never hid the fact that after high school, he actually went to prison. But that is also the time that he decided to turn his life around. He eventually earned multiple degrees, including a PhD in education policy studies from the U of I, but he's best known for bringing those STEM courses back to the under-resourced communities, the Black and Latino communities in Champaign-Urbana, and even around the country in some cases. He had a school bus rehabbed so that he can go to those neighborhoods with drones and remote-controlled cars so that kids in those neighborhoods could see what about a future with engineering or with STEM. Mm-hmm. And he also had a studio on board so kids could learn the music technology and recording technology of hip-hop, not just the music, but what was behind it. And he just touched so many lives in the community and on campus.
We actually have tape of Patterson's childhood friend and also Champaign Community Relations Manager Tracy Parsons talking about how Patterson shared what he shared with his community.
He's the most creative person I know and I've ever met. And so when you talk about work today around STEM and STEAM, AI, artificial intelligence, I mean, he's in the forefront of all of that work and making sure that our community is connected to that work and the importance of the work and trying to hold the university accountable for making sure that these services, supports, programs are in the community.
And I understand, Reginald, there's a Celebration of Life event this weekend. What can you tell us about that?
Yes, there is a 4-hour service scheduled for this Sunday, April 14th, at the Greinert Center for the Performing Arts at the U of I. Half of it will be a memorial service, but the other half, according to Walker Funeral Home, will be an after party. And that's so fitting because Will, or Dr. P, or Reese, as some people called him, was hip-hop aficionado. He did a TED Talk on campus about that. But also, he just loves all kinds of music. And Tracy, when I did that interview with him, told me they would sit and just play music all day and debate which, you know, 60s, 70s bands were the best and everything. So it just really fitting that they kind of have a little after party and a little music and bring a little bit of joy into this really solemn time.
All right, Charlie Schlenker, I want to bring you into the conversation now and shift gears up Interstate 74 into the city of Normal, which recently settled a lawsuit over a wrongful murder conviction going back to the 1990s. I think the name Alan Beeman will be familiar to some listeners who followed criminal justice issues in Illinois, but can you remind us what is his case about?
Beeman was accused of the 1993 killing of college student Jennifer Lockmiller. They had been in a relationship and on and off again relationship. He was a Rockford native. He was accused of strangling her and stabbing her in her apartment. And the case hinged on the timeline where he allegedly drove from his home in Rockford down to Bloomington Normal, killed her, and then drove back. Eventually, the Supreme Court of the state of Illinois decided that was a wrongful conviction. They issued him a certificate of exoneration. He was later pardoned as well. So then it became a civil suit, which is now more than a decade old. And that civil suit was finally settled for $5.4 million, with the town of Normal not admitting any fault, even though Beeman had alleged that the police department suppressed evidence that would have shown that he wasn't the only possible suspect.
So that's interesting. The city does not admit fault, but still pays more than $5 million.
That happens from time to time when, as a risk management tool, municipalities and other defendants in civil suits say, you know, we're not going to risk a jury awarding something bigger. It makes sense fiscally to go ahead and settle it.
Can you tell us at all about what Alan Beeman is doing today, what he's made of his life since the findings of the court and the innocence and the pardon, or the exoneration and the pardon?
He's gone on to craft a job. He has a family. As you might expect, he's still rather chapped about the whole thing. He spent 13 years in prison that he says he didn't have to do, shouldn't have had to do. And the town of Normal is saying that they don't admit guilt. They feel their officers did what was required of them. So it shouldn't be a matter of damages.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are doing our Friday reporter roundtables where we talk about news from across Illinois. We're talking with Charlie Schlenker, senior reporter at WGLT, Bloomington Normal Public Media, and Reginald Hardwick, director of news and public affairs at Illinois Public Media in Champaign-Urbana. Reginald, I want to move on to a couple of education stories now. Unit 4, that's the Champaign School District. Seen a lot of chaos over the last couple of months. Can you briefly tell us what is the story there?
I'll try to be brief because there's a lot going on. Yeah. Two Champaign Unit 4 school board meetings have been canceled because a few members have walked out, and that denies them a quorum. So this all started with two brand new board members just elected last year, resigning in March. Both cited the board just can't get along. It's too toxic. And then move ahead to this past Tuesday, eight candidates came to the board meeting ready to interview for the two open seats. But then two board members walked out and were absent in protest. So they cited that they just would not, that it's a toxic culture in the school board. This was an unfair selection process for the candidates, and they would not join in the interviews. They are pressing for a regional superintendent of schools to select the new members instead. Our education reporter, Emily Hayes, talked to the regional superintendent, Gary Lewis, and he says that he believes he is required by law to wait to step in until the board exhausts its two-month process. So this is far from over, and, you know, a lot of people are just disillusioned. There's no decisions, major decisions being made about who's making decisions about the future.
You know, I know sometimes when you have these things that there's this public dissension, there are often undercurrents that maybe the reporters kind of know about but can't talk about. So I don't know what we can say here, but like I think of the range of things that divide school boards in recent years, and it's library books, it's, you know, LGBTQ issues, it's race. Do we have a sense of what's underlying the, you know, what, as you said, some people have described as a toxic atmosphere on this board?
I think my understanding is that they just really see there's, it's not some of the identity issues that you're seeing in other places, especially around the country, but it is really the focus of where the community goes forward, and you just have two diametrically opposed sides, and one of them, you know, in a couple of years ago, there was a proposal to really radically change and desegregate the district on economic and socioeconomic and racial backgrounds. And that really caused a lot of upheaval. And it seems to have created a couple of camps that see it very different. And so apparently they just cannot come to any sort of compromise.
Well, yeah, I would say that is interesting because that is something that's happening statewide too. We've seen in Chicago a move to maybe shift funding away from some of the magnet and selective enrollment schools. Maybe that's something that we will have a future 21st show conversation on that. Making a note as we are talking.
Good idea.
Charlie Schlinker, let me come back to you. And sticking with the theme of education, Illinois State University recently released the findings of an internal audit of its athletics department following last year's we would say questionable expenditures controversy. What did this audit find?
The audit found that other than the $10,000 for NCAA tickets and other than potential expenditures on a strip club in Indianapolis, there were no other significant anomalies, let's call them, in the spending patterns in the athletics department, then run by Director Kyle Brennan, who resigned about a year ago in the wake of that scandal. It was a donor trip, a donor cultivation trip, with a gentleman who later went on to be indicted and who didn't fulfill his pledge of several million dollars to contribute to an indoor practice facility for the athletics department. It was not only an internal audit, Brian, it was an external audit done by a forensic accounting firm. So they did frequency analysis, they did data analytics, they looked at every single spending transaction in the athletics department over a couple of years. They say they didn't find anything else, and they have also changed some policies on spending and accountability so that this sort of unreviewed expenditure shouldn't happen again.
Did this prove to be a big distraction for ISU athletics, or do they seem to have pretty much moved on and buttoned things back up?
They tapped a professor, a well-regarded professor, who also sits on the NCAA board, Jerry Beggs, as an interim director, and she sort of poured oil on the troubled waters and tried to restore morale in the department. She says the morale is good now. They've moved on. She says there were no significant drops in donations to the athletics department. So the company line is they've moved on and things are okay now.
Reginald, just about 4 minutes left in our time together. I do want to touch on a couple of municipal governance stories, or at least one. Urbana, city of Urbana, Illinois, seems to be at a crossroads with a recent evaluation of its police department and what improvements it might make there. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. Urbana has a new police chief, Larry D. Boone. He came here from Norfolk, Virginia last year. He has asked the council for additional officers. The council has a number of studies looking into what are the needs of the community. One of those studies has come back and says, yes, they do need additional officers. But there is a pretty vocal protest group that says instead of hiring more officers, put those resources into domestic violence experts and social workers and mental health professionals. So basically we're kind of seeing, I think the council's seeing what the other studies say, and you know, we'll be following that story.
And Charlie, speaking of municipal government controversy, the city of Normal and its firefighters are trying to move past a recent controversy involving the chief there. Briefly, what's that story?
There's a rupture in the relationship between the Town of Normal Fire Chief Mick Humer and Firefighters Union Local 2442. The firefighters had a vote of no confidence, and 84% of the union members voted no confidence in Mick Humer. It resulted in some testy and hurt feelings on both parts, and it went public after WGLT got a tip and FOIA'd some documents, and the town and the firefighters union are trying to move past it, but it is hard to move past a vote of no confidence and a letter to the town that lists 16 pages of grievances and alleged lacks in Chief Humer's leadership, and uses words like negligent, dangerous work environment, toxic, and even the word feckless.
Mm. feckless. That is a good word, although not one you want to see coming from the people responsible for safeguarding your home from fire. All right, Charlie, I want to end on a slightly more, not slightly more, but a more upbeat, positive note. We only have about a minute left, but you recently had a piece looking at a sort of a brief history lesson of automobile manufacturing in Bloomington Normal. Obviously, a lot of attention on Rivian, electric car manufacturer there, but it's not the first in town. Tell us about that.
Well, the first electric automaker in town was Eureka Williams Company. We know Eureka as vacuum cleaners, but back then it was an oil heater company and was owned by a larger industrial conglomerate. And members of that conglomerate made Exide batteries, they made engines, and they had other things going on. The Henny Kilowatt was based on a Renault Dauphine body. They made 2 years of the model, experimental model, 1959, 1960, and then it sort of disappeared until the era of electric cars began again in the 1990s.
I was impressed. 60-mile range, that's not bad even by today's standards, for at least for like a plug-in hybrid, and especially when you think about it, that it was back in the late 50s, early 1960s.
It was a thing.
Charlie Schlenker is with WGLT, Bloomington Normal Public Radio, and Reginald Hardwick is news director at WILL, Illinois Public Media in Champaign-Urbana. Thank you both for being with us and sharing some of your and your colleagues' reporting with us this morning.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
More to come here after a short break. It's our politics roundtable. This is the 21st show. Stay with us.